All right, I wanna go straight into the Word of God. If you have been trekking with us for the past 2-3 weeks, we've been talking about spiritual disciplines that need to be restored to the body of Christ. And I've been looking at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 6. And I really believe that there are three disciplines, well, at least four, but three of the ones that we have covered so far, or attempted to cover the third one last week, in Matthew 6. He says, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, those three things are very, very important. And every time in the beginning of the year, we draw your attention to those disciplines, because if you are going to live more and more like Christ, you need to exercise these things. I said to you, discipline will always triumph over desire. There are many things that we desire as Christians, but because we lack discipline, we are not going to achieve them. You see, part of the challenge for us as church folk is that we operate by faith. And we live by faith, we declare things by faith, but faith without action is dead. And that's the part we tend to forget. We only want to declare things, call things that are not as though they are, and we do well in doing those things, and we pray for those things, but we then lack the discipline to apply what the Word of God says in our lives. And I felt like this year, the Lord said, if you are going to raise the standard in your life, you have to become a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. You have to become a doer. Blessed is a man who hears the Word of God and does what it says. If you are just hearing and you don't apply the Word of God in your life, you are deceiving yourself. It feels like you're growing. It sounds like you're growing. You have head knowledge, but because you are not applying the Word of God in your life, you are not going to see fruit in your life. So this year, God wants us to understand the importance of discipline, not just desire. I know you all have desire. There are things that you desire to do this year. There are things that you desire to see happen in your life. There are goals that you have set for this year. But I want to say to you again, if all you have is desire and you lack the discipline thereof, you are not going to achieve those things. You can desire to have a good-looking body, but if you keep eating bad and you don't go to the gym, it's not going to happen. You can pray until you become blue, but you are not going to miraculously be fit without the discipline. So you pray and you say, God, this is my desire. But then you get up every morning and you say, God, according to my prayer, I'm going to discipline myself. And same applies with every other aspect of your spiritual walk. There are many of us that desire to be out of debt. I won't ask you to raise your hands. But there are many that desire to be out of debt. But desire without discipline is not going to get you out of debt. You're going to have some discipline. Tell yourself, I am not going to do A, B, C, and D. I am going to save. I am not going to live over and above my means. And if you just apply the discipline, you are going to see the hand of God in your life. You're going to see the favor of God and you begin to excel. End of the year, you'll be like, look at what God has done, because it was desire coupled with discipline, not just desire. You want to be a better Christian? I know all of us want to be better Christians, but there has to be discipline. You have to discipline yourself. This year, I will have the discipline to come to church. That's right. It's discipline. I'm going to discipline myself, because by default, there are things that are going to keep you away from coming to church. But because your desire is strong to be a better Christian and to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ, you discipline yourself. You're going to discipline yourself to be part of a life group. I'm going to discipline myself. I know that I want to watch television on a Wednesday night, but I know that if I get into a small community of people who really genuinely want to do life with me, my life will never be the same again. And I'm going to discipline myself. And if you discipline yourself at the end of the year, great results. So if you are just a hearer of the word and you hear what the pastor is saying, lower me a little bit, I will get excited. If you hear what the pastor is saying and you just say amen and you don't discipline yourself, you're not going to see the fruit. So the blessed is a person that's going to hear this word and like, wow, life groups, I'm going to try this. I'm going to give it my all this year. I'll discipline myself to connect with other people. By the end of the year, you will have the testimony. And yet the one who just listened and desired and did nothing will be saying, well, this thing doesn't work. It works if you have the discipline. So anyway, we covered the first two, the discipline to fast and the discipline to pray. You need to pray if you're a Christian. And I say these things are not optional. Jesus, if you read Matthew chapter number 6, he doesn't say if you fast or if you pray or if you give. He says when you fast, when you pray, when you give. They're not optional. The idea here is if you are a Christian, you must fast, you must pray, you must give. The issue is not whether or not you should give. It's when you give. That's what we want to deal with. So as a Christian, you need to develop the discipline to give. You see, the problem with church folk is, I think, more than church folk, if I may add, We look at Jesus as a genie in a bottle. We just come to him with our wishes. Grant me my wish. Do a little bit of rubbing and you're like, grant me my wish. It doesn't work like that. Jesus says, yes, I wanna give you the desires of your heart, but he wants you to be a disciplined follower. That's what it means to be a disciple. You discipline yourself to follow Jesus. You don't just follow God for what you want. You follow God even when he doesn't feel good. Because he's always good. So, giving is what we're talking about today as we prepare for first fruits next week. Everybody say, when you give. It's not if you give, but when you give. As a Christian, giving is not optional. If you are here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I give you permission to switch off your ears and dream of whatever you're going to do after the church. But if you are born again, giving is not optional. You can't be a Christian and be stingy. You can't be. It's in itself. It's an oxymoron. It's impossible to call yourself a Christian and be stingy, because Christianity is birthed out of the generosity of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave. By nature, God is a generous God. And if you are following a generous God, you will be generous. You can't be a Christian for donkey years and you are still stingy. Maybe you're not following the right Jesus. Because when you follow Jesus, one of the things that you're going to notice is that he is always generous. And he says, imitate me. Be like me. Be as generous. So, as we prepare our hearts for first fruits, which is a big deal for us here at Word of Truth Ministry and in the Bible, but there are some people that are still new to Word of Truth Ministry and you're like, what is this first fruits? What is this all about? And we're going to get there. I will preach about the blessing of first fruits next week. But here, I just want to talk about your heart disposition, the disposition of your heart. You have to be a giver. If you're not a giver, it doesn't matter what we talk about giving into or for what, you're not going to give. You see, when you're not a giver and we say, let's give towards this, hey, the church is after my money. Because you're naturally not a giver. When you are a giver, the issue is not giving. The issue is trying to find out, why are we giving into this? What are we supposed to be doing? What is the Lord saying for me? But giving is not the issue. But for most of us, giving is the issue. And I'm saying, as a Christian, giving should not be an issue. You know, when somebody comes to me and there are times when I feel like the Lord is actually saying, don't give, or whatever the story is. Somebody comes to me and they beg in something. The issue is not, should I give or not? The disposition of my heart is, I need to be giving. And then I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me through the process. Because my heart is positioned to give. If your heart is not positioned to give, you're always going to complain before you even hear the need. So we need to just get our hearts right. So whether I'm talking about first fruits, tithes, offerings, giving to the soup kitchen, giving to whatever, if your heart is not of a giver, it doesn't matter what I say give to, you're going to have a problem. Unless I say give to yourself. Oh, everybody must give you, amen. All right, so let's just quickly look at... I've got a lot of thoughts in my mind, a lot, so just bear with me. But one of the things that I want to do this morning, I felt like the Lord said to me, I need to teach you the grace of giving. The grace of giving. Everybody say grace. We love the grace of God, isn't it? Yeah. So there is a grace of giving, and I'm going to show you through the scripture. It's a grace. Lord, give me the grace to be a giver. It's a grace that comes upon a Christian to become generous. And you need to ask God for that grace so that you can become generous. So if you find that you're a stingy person, your prayer should be, God, give me grace to give. Grace is not just for salvation. It's not just for the forgiveness of sins. Grace empowers you and enables you to live like Christ. And so there is a grace for you to give, and you need to pray for that grace. And I felt like the Lord said, there are many of us that whenever we hear giving, this has been going on for years. People debate whether we should give. Is it an Old Testament principle, a New Testament principle? Here's what I want to say to you. There is grace to give. And grace, everybody believes, grace is in the New Testament. Amen. Yeah. So I always say, whenever I find somebody wanting to argue with me about giving out of the law or out of grace, I've got theology for it. I will teach you in a minute. But I first want to know, are you arguing because grace is encouraging you to give more than what the law says, or you want to give less? Because when I read the New Testament, grace came to raise the standard. Grace did not lower the standard. Jesus did not say, well, the law expected you to give 10%. So I am just going to say, let's give 1% because my grace is sufficient. He says, I'm going to give you grace so that you can give over and above what is required. So when you give in the New Testament under grace, you are not trying to lower the standard. You are actually saying, I don't want to limit myself. Just read the book of Acts, chapter number 4. They went and they sold their houses. There's nowhere in the Old Testament they said, thou shalt sell your house. No, they encountered the grace of God. And even though Moses taught them to give only 10%, they were so moved by the grace of God that they started doing what was not prescribed in the law, over and above. So grace is not saying, let's lower the standard. Grace is saying, I don't want to be limited by any standard. I just want to allow the grace of God to work in and through me. So that should be the disposition of our hearts as Christians. I'm a generous person. I'm not trying to be stingy. I'm trying to be generous. And so grace leads me to give generously without, what's the word? God loves a cheerful giver, not grudgingly. You don't give because you've been coerced. You are now giving freely because you are under grace. Now let's unpack this concept of giving as we build onto the grace of God. And I've got a few scriptures very quickly that I want to go through. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse 1. And these are important scriptures for us to understand as Christians, and especially if you are part of this church, because you hardly hear us preach about money. If you have been part of this church, you can say amen. I'm not making this up. If we preach about money, it's like 2-3 sermons, and that's it. Only in the beginning of the year. The rest of the year, it's up to the grace of God to deal with you. I don't know. Go visit other churches. Every day you are hearing a scripture about giving. But what am I saying to you here? There are principles that you need to understand as a Christian, and that's what I want you to understand again. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now about the collection of the Lord's people, your generosity, your gift. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, everybody say the first day. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. So here is the first principle that I want you to understand. As a Christian, remember, it's not if you give, but when you give. When you give as a Christian, your giving must be intentional and consistent. This is grace. Your giving must be intentional and it must be consistent. So Paul is teaching the church in Corinth, and he says to them, like I told the other churches, wherever I go, on the first day of the week, every Sunday, you have to be intentional about giving. Every day of first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. You don't give because the pastor is preaching so good. You go home, you do your budget, you set aside. I am a Christian. I set aside money to give. You must have what you call your giving account. This is what he's teaching. You must, if you are really serious about being a Christian, without law, without coercion, without force, you will set aside money. I am going to give. So when you come to church, you should be saying, this is Sunday, the first day of the week. I must have something to give. And you open that giving account, take something and say, this is what I purpose to give. So whether somebody comes and says, oh, you must give cheerfully or not, you just have already set aside. Tell your neighbor, set aside. Set aside. That speaks of being intentional. I am an intentional giver. I don't give. You know, the preachers of old would say, I don't know. I'll not go there. I might offend a few people. Let me stay with you. Hey, hallelujah. I still have a few principles. I don't want to lose you too early. Maybe I'll throw it at the end. Amen. But here's the thing. Be intentional about your giving. You don't just like, whatever happens. If the Lord really wants me to give, you know, you will speak to me. No, he already wants you to give. So set aside a sum of money to give. And be intentional and be consistent. When he says every week, he's speaking of consistency. It's not by law that every Sunday you must bring something. There are many Sundays that I forget offering. I actually do forget. But because I'm an intentional giver, the fact that I forgot my wallet many times in the car, and it doesn't mean that now I'm like, oh, I'm not giving this week. Because I'm an intentional giver, I still can give, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's not about law, about when you give, but it's about setting aside an amount to give and then being consistent. Consistency is part of discipline. If you're going to learn discipline, you have to be consistent. If you give haphazardly, you'll give once and then you'll give again when the moon turns blue. Amen. But give always. Be consistent. Then he also says your giving must be proportional to your income. He says you put aside a set of money in keeping with your income. Here comes again. It's not about competing with one another. If I get 5 rand, if I give 2 rand, my goodness me, I might be giving way more than somebody with 1 million rand, but just giving 1,000 rand. So the issue is not about the amount, it's your heart. You have decided in your heart, you have set it aside in keeping with your income. We don't go again in this church, we don't go around saying, how much do you earn? Here's what you need to do. We never do that. Because this is supposed to be the disposition of a Christian heart. I am a Christian, my heart is to give. God has blessed me with X amount. Pastor doesn't even have to know what X amount is. But in keeping with your income, you need to set aside a sum of money to give. You set it aside. Don't compare, don't watch who's giving what. Remember, Jesus was observing the people that were giving, and he saw a widow that came with her two mites, two coins. And she came and she dropped those coins. Jesus says, my goodness me. This widow has been the best giver because everybody else gave a fraction of their money. She only had two coins and she gave of her all. So Jesus was not looking at the amount, but just looking at the intention to give based on what they have. So we're not here trying to talk about the amount. You know what God has blessed you with. If God has given you a high-powered job and you get a fat salary, give accordingly. If you have a job, the lowest job, and you get a low salary, give accordingly. So giving is not for the rich, it's not for the poor, it's for Christians. We need to get these things right, because many times I speak to a lot of pastors, especially in the township, and I've gone on record, I've done teachings with them. They think that when we have money, then we're going to start giving. I'm like, no, you already have money. You all might not be working with all these big jobs, but whatever work you've got, you already have money. If you learn generosity and you start giving with what you have, God will give more. Oh, yeah, but we're not like you guys. I'm like, no, we are all the same. The scripture did not say there are some who must give and others must just receive. It says, Christians, we all give. We all give. We need to get that in our spirits. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to look at the grace, and then we'll tie this up. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. He then says from verse 6, remember this, Christians give, but when you give, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He's just saying, when you give, just remember. It's just remember it. We're not here to force anybody to give something, but remember how it works. If you sow sparingly, also remember that you're going to get a sparing harvest. But if you sow generously, you must also expect to reap generously. Yea, again, listen to this. Each one of you should give, verse 7. Each one of you should give what you have decided where. It's about the disposition of your heart. Each one of you must give what you have decided. That's why we don't coerce or preach about giving on a Sunday morning expecting you to give more. Because the expectation is you've already decided before you came here. If you're waiting for me to give you a 5-minute nugget on giving so that you can decide how much you are going to give, you are carnal. You decide when you are still at home. When you're still at home, before you even get, so that if you come to church and the pastor doesn't greet you, you don't say, now I'm keeping my money. Now I decided to give way before the pastor did not greet me. I am a Christian. Nobody is going to cause me to give any more or any less than what I have purposed in my heart. I have purposed, which means that we don't get abused. I've seen some conferences where the Holy Ghost is moving and some pastor starts just saying scriptures and people give emotionally. Then tomorrow they come in like, hey, pastor, we don't have food. What happened? Hey, when the Holy Spirit was moving, I gave everything. Did the Holy Spirit say, I'm not sure? Unless the Holy Spirit told you to give everything. But not because you were moved by some hype preacher who just kind of got you to give. No, you decide. Everybody say decide. You decide. We are intentional about generosity. We are intentional. So when my wife comes and we know what our budget looks like. So if our given budget, say for example, is 1,000 rand. If she comes and says the Holy Spirit has moved me, we need to give 900 rand. By all means, just go and give. We've already decided that that money is going to go somewhere. We may not know where it's going to go, but we already decided. So if she comes and like, oh, I was speaking to so-and-so, we need to go buy groceries. Like, just go and do it. But when it's over and above what we decided, we now have to come into consultation with the Holy Spirit. God, are you calling us? Is it really you? We now begin to inquire deeper. Because there are times where God has moved us to give over and above. And that's fine. But we now inquire. But before that, there is a given budget. We don't have a meeting. We just like, whoever gets moved first, amen. So if I come to church and I get moved, I'm like, hey, I feel like that 1,000 rand is going to so and so. Like, okay, let's go. We already decided. Amen. We want you to be healthy givers. Where when you give, you're not crying and complaining at home like that church. No, it's not about the church. It's the disposition of your heart. What you have decided in your heart. And he says, that is what you give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So I cannot. So within the limit of our giving, there's no compulsion. If somebody gets up here and says, hey, there's a need, and we look at each other and we're like, we did not know where this month the money is going. That's where it's going. I'm not forced to. I had already decided I was going to. That's how we should live as Christians. And listen to this. And God is able to bless abundantly. Everybody say God is able. God is able to bless abundantly. Here is the issue. If you really believe that God is able to bless you, you will be a generous person. But if you doubt God's ability to bless, you are going to hold on to the little that you have. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It's a mouthful. I will preach a series on this thing. Here is what God wants for the church. When we live as generous people, it's in all things, at all times, we will have all that we need. When we begin to live like this, that's the first century church showed us that it is possible. The one that needed this, the others just provided. Because when we are really generous on this level, at all times, in all situations, we'll have everything that we need. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. I wish I had time to connect the two. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower. I wish I had time to tell you that God gives you, when he's giving you stuff, there are times when he's giving you seed. So when God has blessed you, in the blessing, there is also the seed. Some people will be delivered financially just by understanding that. In your salary, there is a seed. You're working it. If you think of the ecosystem that God created called Eden, he said every fruit, every tree has fruit, and in the fruit there is a seed. So God knew that if we are going to perpetuate whatever I have created, there must be a seed in the fruit. So if God is going to continue to bless you, in your paycheck there is seed for the tomorrow's blessing. Now you eat your seed and then tomorrow you're asking God, how come we've got no fruit? It's like, when I gave you that first thing, I placed in it a seed so that you always eat. The problem with Africa, eat the seed. And desire some miracle. I'm trying to behave myself. I'm trying to behave myself. Behave yourself, Pastor Justin. Gucha, 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 gucha. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Guche, 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 guche. Blessed, blessed. 30 minutes. Guche, guche, guche. And they eat the seed. Come next week. Hey, please. Diacela, please. Like, what were you doing? Spiritual gymnastics, eating the seed. Take the seed, go put it in the ground. Amen. After you've put the seed in the ground, yeah, farmers, ask farmers. When they have put the seed in the ground, they can now, guche, 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 guche. Yeah, I'm blessed. Why? The seed is in the ground. It's just a matter of time. God has to cause the rain to come, but because my seed is in the ground, it will produce. Now, if you go guche, 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 and there's no seed in the ground, rain will come, others will harvest, you will be poor. Man. Okay, behave yourself, Pastor Justin. Finish this thing. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply increase of your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched. This is grace. Listen to the grace of God. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's being a Christian. Like, we've just been blessed. And in any, whatever the occasion is. Oh, the occasion for this season might be cry room, mother's lounge, and I'm blessed. So the occasion is giving for that because I'm blessed. Are you understanding this? You can be generous. Generosity is what he's after, not the money. It's disposition of the heart. Are you a generous person or a stingy person? Christians are not stingy. I'm helping you. And that doesn't mean that you've got a lot of money to give away. It just means that sometimes you take somebody for coffee and you say, I'm paying for the coffee. I'm a Christian. That's what I do. I'm a generous person. Some of you, we have to pray hard every time we've taken you out. When it's time for the bill, when the bill comes, all of a sudden you need to go to the bathroom. And the others are wondering, when are you going to be Christian enough to say, today is my, let me just do that. I am a Christian. I give. You look for opportunities to give. And I've told you many stories. I don't want to draw attention to myself. But guys, when you are a Christian and you live a generous life, you will always find opportunity to give. There are times... I still do this to this very day. If you still remember, if you've been part of this church, I've told you about this story. I do this to this very day. If I go to the service station and I fill up my car, full tank, any time, because you know you don't get to put full tank every day, you know, you don't. But every time I have that opportunity, usually it's towards the end of the month. I've been paid, and I'm like, let me fill up my tank. I'll give 10% to the petrol attendant. So whatever amount that is, I'm going to give. Now I'm driving a car that takes 1,600. I gave the other day, because I actually came out the first time, I kid you not, because the disposition of my heart, it's not a law. What I did is I'm giving myself reminders, setting myself up. Justin, you're generous. You can go for the whole month without giving if you don't put reminders. So I remind myself when I fill up my tank, full tank. So if I've got 100 rand, I'm not saying 10% is going to the person because I only have 100 rand. At that point, I'm like, hey, do you have extra so that you can put extra fuel for me? Amen. but when I fill up my tank, it means that I've got abundance for that moment. I'll just say I'm going to give 10%. So the first time I put this thing, I kid you not, I went to tell my wife, and I wasn't talking about the money. I was talking about the size of this tank. Why? Because it meant that 10% of this is going out. So the first time it was empty, and this guy is pouring and he's pouring, and I'm like, this thing keeps going. 1,600. I'm like, what? I got out. I'm like, are you sure this thing is not leaking somewhere? says, no, it's a big tanker. Hey, in my mind, I'm doing the mathematics now. But guess what? I said, yeah, and I gave him the 160 rand. The guy was shocked. What? For me, it's just a principle to remind me. It's just to remind me. So it's not always going to be 160 because sometimes I fill the tank when it's not that empty. But whenever I say full tank, automatically something clicks in my head. Be generous. Full tank, be generous. Because that person now associates this guy, when he fills his tank, he's a generous person. I don't have to tell him I'm a pastor. I don't have to tell him that I'm a Christian. But should he one day just discover by himself, guess what he's going to say? These Christians, I serve almost all sorts of people here. I've filled different tanks. But Christians, when they are generous. It's a reminder. So he wants to enrich us so that we may be. So again, we don't have to collect, vegetables for first fruits. It looks good for the display, but the display is not as important. The display is just a reminder that, hey, everybody come with cabbage, come with carrots, come with something. And all of us do that. And guess what we do? We take this and we ride into the, I love first fruits. We ride into the township and people are seeing us coming out with these crates of food and we are blessing people. Or somebody in the church who's really struggling and you're blessing them. The display is just a reminder. There's no way in the scripture that says you must first display it like this. And no, it's just a reminder and an opportunity for us to do these things. So you need reminders. Amen. Anyway, I've got 10 minutes and I'm done. So you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's what it means, that one day when they discover that you are born again, they will thank God. My goodness me, I never knew that there is a people group that can be this generous. And they happen to be called Christians. Amen. This verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. When we give first fruits and we take these things, some of you will never get to meet whoever that food went to. But when they are praising God, those are expressions of thanksgiving to God because of your generosity. Then he goes on to say, because of this service which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. What's the obedience? I am a Christian, I give. And they'll praise God that they are Christians that obey the word of God and they give. This is it. So your gospel that you confess, when you put generosity next to it, somebody is going to thank God that you are an obedient Christian. That's what he's saying. And this is all in the New Testament. And listen to this. Then he says, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers, their hearts will go out to you because of this surpassing grace God has given you. Giving is a grace. It says, if you are able to do this, people will thank God for the grace that he has given you. There is a grace of giving. The kind of grace that he says is indescribable. It's expressed in generosity. For God so loved the world that he could not express this grace or his love without giving. There's a grace that causes people to live like this. And it's that grace that when we discipline ourselves to give. So let me quickly help you as I prepare you for first fruits now next week. So the Old Testament, the law of the Old Testament, the Bible says the Old Testament is a school, the law is a schoolmaster. So the Old Testament was to teach you the discipline so that when we remove the schoolmaster, you can do what you were disciplined to do. You needed a teacher to teach you 1 + 1 = 2. And they did that consistently so that you get it. Now you don't need a teacher. When you do your million-dollar calculations, the teacher did their part. And now what they taught you just works. And the law was supposed to be a schoolmaster to just get us into the discipline of giving. That even if we removed the law, we would remain generous. The theology, when people ask me, giving tithes, first fruits was Old Testament, it was in the law. I also ask them, if you read your Bible, you will find that giving, first fruits, and tithes was before the law. Let's just go check it. If you want to have a theological argument with me, here's the theology of it. The law, Jesus told us, came through. And grace came through? The law came through? So, before Moses, there was no. Now, if you read your Bible, do you find Abraham tithing before Moses? Who comes first, Abraham or Moses? So, before Moses was born, tithing was there. Before there was ever a law, people who related to God tithed. Before there was ever a law, people who related to God gave first fruits. So first fruits and tithing were not as a result of the law. Moses, as the schoolmaster, said, wow, what others got by just following Jesus. God in the Old Testament, I don't want to lose you with theology. Some people by just following God, like Abraham, by just following God, when he began to walk with God and became a friend of God, he just knew that I have to tithe. Because he saw the generosity of God and he's like, my goodness me, I just have to tithe. He saw the generosity of God and he says, my goodness me, I have to give of my first fruits when there was no law. But there are some Christians that will go to church forever and never tithe. So then Moses said, oh, okay, let's help those guys. Let's put it in the law so that they can also have the discipline. So the laws of giving were written in our hearts way before the tablets were written. If you are a God follower, you are a generous person. And what you need to tell yourself before you do the theological argument, just say, I follow God, I'm a generous person. I follow God, I'm a generous person. The more you believe that following God makes you a generous person, the easier it's going to be for you to be generous. But if you need laws to get you there, then we have a problem. So it's not law, it's grace. It's the disposition of your heart. So before Moses, they gave their tithes and they gave of their first fruits. And we're going to talk about first fruits next week. But because I want you to prepare, maybe you are new to this church. Everybody else knows this. And you're like, okay, how do I give first fruits? So first fruits, the concept comes from the nation of the children of Israel. And what happened was they would bring the first crops, the first harvest, they would bring to the Lord. And they'll heave it as a first fruits offering. We'll do the scriptures next week. I just want to prepare your heart. Hear the principle. Don't worry about where in the Bible it is. I'll do that next week. But they had to prepare their hearts. And then they'll bring the first fruits. So now, if you're a farmer, it's easy to tell the first fruits. Because they will be the first fruits. You know, that's what comes out first, and you take that as your first harvest and you bring that to the Lord. But then when you are now in this economy where we don't farm, we go to work and we ask, how then do we pay first fruits? How then do we bring first fruits? So the rabbis taught that the portion, the first portion that would come out that belonged to the Lord was about between 1/40th to 1/60th of the field, and they've
I'll explain this next week, but I just want to prepare your heart. So that was just like a fraction, a very small fraction. I'm not saying 40%. I've had somebody ask me, are you saying I must give 40% of my... No, it's not 40%. It's 1/40. It's 1/40 is less than 1/10. Just telling you. Just if you need calculations, we'll help you with calculations. But before we go into calculators, because that's where we lose one another, we kind of like now legalistic. It must be before that. I just want you to hear the principle because it's going to help you in preparing. So it was 1/40 of their crops would come to the Lord, and they would offer that as a heave offering, a teruma, a wave offering unto the Lord. And they would wave this. And if you read throughout the Old Testament, they had these seven feasts, and one of them was the Feast of First Fruits. It was a specific feast. It would be a day where people would celebrate. In fact, the Bible says 3 times a year shall every male man appear before God, and no one shall appear empty-handed. One of those 3 times was the Feast of First Fruits. Because if you came to the Feast of First Fruits empty-handed, what you're simply saying is that God has given me nothing. And that would not be true. If you had a farm, even if it had a little bit of produce, whatever that little bit was good enough for you to take that and say, God, this is what you've given me. And the principle of first fruits is this. I'll talk about it next week when we deal with the blessing of first fruits. The principle of first fruits was simply this. What you give first determines what happens to the rest. We put it this way in this church. The first determines the rest. Yay. Hey, I've taught this for many years. People now just can sing it. The first determines the rest. So I always say, if your first is given to the world, the rest is going to the world. They just take it. Oh yeah, if your first is focused on paying bills, and you'll find that the rest of the year, all you're doing is just paying bills. And you're like, yo, this year was a difficult year. Because what you did with the first determines what happens with the rest. But when the heart posture is this, I want to honor God, which is a scripture that we all know. The Bible says, honor God with your first fruits. So you want to honor God. How do you honor God? You put him first. First fruits belong to the one who comes first in your life. And for us Christians, who comes first? So if we learn to give to the one who comes first, it becomes easier for us to give to anybody else. We then take the nature of the one who comes first. Romans 11 says, if the first fruits be holy, the lamp also is holy. Because what happens to the first will affect the rest. So when we give of our offering first to God, in the beginning of the year, that's why we do it every beginning of the year. If we give that first fruits to the Lord, what happens is that the nature of God is imposed onto the rest. I wish I had time to tell you about Jesus. The Bible says God, you've been listening to it on the video clip that we play for first fruits. But here's what the revelation that you need to get. God gave, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten son. So Jesus was God's only. And because God wanted the nature of the one to be imposed on the many, God took the one and sacrificed the one. That the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, I think it is, 2 Corinthians 6, it then says, he then becomes the first fruits, the firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus fulfills, yeah, if you go into the Jewish calendar, Jesus is crucified, Passover. He then, three days later, comes up first fruits. He is the first to come out of the grave. And because it happened to the first, it will happen to the rest. So you and I are assured of resurrection because of a first fruit offering. The nature of the first is going to be imposed on the rest. He was the only, but then
when you are sown into this ground as the only seed, he comes out as the first of many. When we give of our first fruits, that's your, you've just received your salary and you're taking 1/40th of your annual harvest out of your first salary. This is where it becomes difficult because it's like a week's salary is coming out. And you say, I'm taking my week's salary and I'm giving it to the Lord. And I'm not even sure if I will have enough. But what I believe is that what happens to the first week's salary is going to be imposed on the rest. So the first offering is going to take the nature of a generous God, and it's going to make sure that the rest never runs out. We have lived in the miracle of first fruits, and there are many, next week we will tell you the scriptures and many testimonies. Last week we had Puti testifying, a beautiful testimony. Many, many, many have testified about first fruits. Why? It's a spiritual principle. If you want to be logical about it, you're going to think, yo, but. But if your disposition is like, I just want to trust God and I want to believe God, it's easy for you to practice. So if your heart, and again, there is no compulsion. If you're part of this church, you know this. If your heart is like, I've heard about first fruits, I want to prepare myself. Next week, it'll be too late for you to come here and let me listen. Because next week I'll be talking about the blessing. Why? Because I know that everybody who's going to come here has already decided whatever their first fruit is. I'm not going to be preaching. The reason why I don't preach about blessings before that, because I don't want you to give because you want a blessing. I could have preached about the blessing of first fruits today and everybody will be pumped up and like, yo, this thing is, I want this blessing. No, we don't give because we want the blessing. We want to prepare our hearts, understand the truth, and prepare our hearts. Because when our hearts are right, blessing or no blessing, we are already blessed because our hearts are right. Amen. So next week will be too late for you to decide whether you're going to give first fruits or not. Prepare if you want to bring it next week. Obviously, you can give after that. But I don't want you to give because next week I'm going to be preaching about the blessing. And I'm like, ah, you are blessed. And you're like, I want to give because I want to be blessed. No, I want you to give because you understand the principle. That's why I've labored in teaching the principle. Amen. Hope I didn't confuse anybody. So your first fruits offering is approximately a week's salary. The ones that are more into numbers, you just need to take 1/40th of your annual harvest, and you're like, I'm going to surrender that to the Lord. Having said that, we don't give legalistically by numbers, but the posture of our hearts. All these things were only guidelines. And if you are trying this out, you say, God, give me the grace to be generous. I want to honor you with my first, and God will do the rest. Amen. Let's stand. One of the things that, especially now that I am on television talking to many, many people across the continent, one of the things that pains me about Africa is that we think we can buy God's blessing. Really, really. I promise you, if I were to randomly put the messages that we receive, it's always about what can I get? What can I pay? What do I need to do? There was one person that we were walking with, and they wanted prayer. And we told them that we're going to pray for them for free. They did not come back. Because in their mind, if it's for free, it's worthless. And I'm saying, what kind of gospel have people taught you? Jesus taught us freely we have received, freely we give. We just want to give you free. We want to just pray for you and we want you to. And it's almost like people are eager to be abused. And I'm telling you truth because I get almost 1,000 messages every week after we've preached on TV. And most of them are ready to be abused. And the biggest challenge is trying to teach them sound doctrine. Like, it's okay. I want you to be generous. I'm not saying generosity is no. But let's get doctrine right. If you get doctrine right and then you're generous, the rest is fine. You're always going to be blessed. But if you just get psyched into give and this will happen and you don't get doctrine right, you remain poor and somebody gets prosperous. Usually the pastor. Amen. I have to be honest with you. That's what it is for most of those guys. They buy jets. Like, they're flying all over the thing. They've got jets parked in. And I'm like, where do you get the money to do that? It's the people that you're abusing. And I'm not saying God can't bless. And hear me. But I'm saying when we teach it right, because I don't want to speak against the blessing. If God so decides to give us a jet and everything is fine, yeah, so be it. You know, I'm like, okay, God. But here's what I would say to you. I would say to you, we're not going to abuse scriptures because we want something. That we're not going to do. We're not going to do. We're going to trust God and we're going to let God be God. Though, even if he blesses us or he does not bless us, our hearts are blessed because we have aligned to truth. Not something sold to us by doctrines of devils. So Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you that we are a generous house. Lord, we have seen over the years how you have blessed us. Father, we are truly grateful because of our nature, we are givers. So Father, I pray that as we nature, we are givers. You're releasing now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Releasing now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Gracious towards you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and shine upon you. May he be gracious towards you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you upon you. May he be gracious towards you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May he be gracious towards you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace all the days of you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace all the days of your life. And oh God, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace all the days of your life. And oh God's people say his countenance upon you and give you peace all the days of your life. And oh God's people say it, amen. Give you peace all the days of your life. And oh God's people say it, amen.